Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Approaching retirement? The specifics of retirement differ for everyone. If you have questions about your retirement, you'd like to ask them directly to Steve or Justin. They set aside a time each day to answer specific questions. You can send them a note. Just click on Contact Steve or Justin on InvestTalk.com. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday, March 3rd, and you're listening to Invest Talk. Above average investing for the average investor. This is the hour that we try to help you become that better than average investor. Trying to achieve better results. And, you know, it is difficult. I never beat around the bush and say, oh, you can do it and pound the desk of how easy it is. It's not. It's hard. It's hard in many different ways. It's not that hard to find good, solid companies. What is hard is controlling your emotions, buying them at the right price, knowing when you should trim or rebalance. All those things are hard. And you have to put them all together. So we want you to become better than average. That's what I want to do. And that means when the market's going down, you go less down. You don't go down with the market. You go down, but not as much as market. When it goes up, you want to be at the higher profit margin curve. You want to be, you may not beat the market, but be a, see, if you can not go down as much with the market and then come up close to the market, you'll be a lot further along in growing your money. Now, our listener line is 888-99-CHART. You can call anytime you want. You can send me a note, an email, just by clicking on Contact Steve, or if you want to send it to one to Justin by clicking on Contact Justin on investtalk.com. Those are emails that come directly to us. If you're invested in the stock market, whether you invest directly in individual stocks or through an employer's plan or other program, you really should have a good understanding of the money marketplace. So each day, I try to have a straightforward discussion on how and why it works. How does this whole mess work? And, you know, most people just think, well, you go and buy stocks and you sell stocks and, you know, you buy the winners and you sell the losers and it's just that simple. I wished it was. You know, because you have to pay attention to the details within your investing program, whatever you're doing. If you don't, you'll pay the price. For example, it can be costly ignoring the fees associated with buying, owning, selling, and investing products. For instance, you want to buy a loaded fund, a fund that charges 5% upfront commission, when you can buy any non-loaded fund that almost does the exact same thing for no upfront commission. You know how many people buy loaded funds every day? Because they don't know. You have to understand how people get paid. And a diversification, we talk about it all the time. I'm sure you know it's important to control the risk because you listen to the show and I know you know it's important, but what does it mean? What does it actually mean in a portfolio? Do I just buy mutual funds and be diversified, exchange-traded funds and be diversified? You cannot be diversified and be nothing but mutual funds. You cannot. They can be badly diversified. So what does it mean? How do I do that? That's what we're about. You can ask a question. We're here for you. If you have questions about concepts and terms of any kind, you know, to try to understand what the stock market and what it does and how it works, that's what we're here for. I believe that every investor should expect better than average results. And of course, you should always try to achieve them. But to do that, you're going to have some knowledge. You got to make good, sound decisions. And you're going to be wrong. I'm wrong. Everybody's wrong. It's just how wrong are you and how do you keep being wrong minimal? Now, do you have questions about fees or how to check the background on investment or whatever it is? Give me a call. 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number.
Hey, I'm still struggling with the whole concept of the P.E. ratio and how to figure it out. And I know that there's the low P.E. ratios and I know there's the high P.E. ratios, but I can't get my head around what is the good P.E. ratio. Bye.
Okay. That is not as simple as it sounds, really. That is a very good question. Okay, let's start with this concept. The average P.E. ratio of the S&P 500, the major index out there, is about 15. And that encompasses all the good stocks, bad stocks, high growth stocks, low growth stocks in the S&P 500. So you know the market overall, on average, has a 15 PE. So you know if the PE for the overall market is higher than that, well, it's above average. Lower than that, it's a below average. So you kind of have that concept in your mind. Now, every sector in the S&P 500, tech sector, retail sector, banking sector, every sector has its own average PE, long-term average PE ratio. And I can tell you this, the high growth stocks generally have a much higher PE ratio than the overall market. The low growth stocks or industries have a lower average PE ratio than the overall market. Now, once I start getting into more and more and more details, you're going to have to learn more and more and more. And it goes forever, you know, as far as the learning curve. Just simple PEs is a lot to understand. So I can also tell you this, a PE ratio of an individual stock is related to its growth rate. The higher the growth, the higher the PE, lower the growth, lower PE. And that tracks with sectors. Higher growth, lower growth. And that's about as good as answers I can give you on the air right now, because it gets more complex, okay? But if you understand those concepts from the get-go, you have a basic starting point. Many investors turn to investments issued by the U.S. government in order to reduce risk. Investments issued, and those usually are treasuries or government bonds. So how do you choose the right government bonds? It's going to be our main talking point today. Odds of a recession in 2016. What do you think the odds are that we're going to have a recession this year? Well, some big bankers have came up with some numbers. We'll go over those. Negative rates will crush bankers, the bank stocks, according to Bill Gross. You know who Bill Gross is? Well, we'll talk about that. OPEC will never cut production. Why? Why would they never cut production? I don't see any reason for them to do it. Why would they ever even consider it? And of course, the biggest producer in OPEC is Saudi Arabia. I don't even think OPEC is relevant anymore. So we're going to talk about those are the things I want to discuss. But of course, what's on your mind is more important than what's on my mind. The market was up today. 44 points on the Dow, four points on the NASDAQ, 7 points on the S&P. And this has been a pretty good week. So far, we had a big up day, and I wrote there's some reasons why I'm not too excited about it yet, and I'm writing my reasons and will be posted on our website tomorrow, and but we do have an up market, but it hasn't recovered from the beginning of the year. It's getting closer and closer, but it's a little over halfway there from the fall back up to where the year started. And I remember all last year, the market was pretty flat to down. And then this year started off with a pretty big fall. So what's going on? Now that we're having a market rise, should it time to get excited about the rise? I'm not, but of course, I'd be happy to talk about it. 888-99-JART, 888-992-4278. We have jobs report coming out tomorrow. That's going to be interesting. The ADP private job sector came out yesterday, and that was decent. Economic numbers coming out this week are pretty decent. Not great, not bad. So, you know, nothing's terrible. When you're building a portfolio, right there in the foundation is determining just how much risk you're going to build it into it. So how much risk are you going to build into your portfolio? What do you think is a good amount of risk? How do you understand it? How do you measure it? We have an award-winning tool that helps you understand risk. You can use it online. It takes about 3 minutes. Just answer some questions, and it'll give you a risk score from 0 to 99. And just so you know, about 80 is about the risk of the S&P 500. It's right there in the blue box on investtalk.com.
Hello, Justin. Hello, Steve. This is Raphael from Jersey. I had a question and a comment about oil, specifically my investment, ConocoPhillips. My understanding is it takes about 5-6 weeks to form a solid base. And if I'm reading the charts right, we are definitely seeing a breakout in ConocoPhillips. Today was the best day in months. And wanted to get your impression on that take. And for everyone, I just think that oil is going to present the best investment in probably years now. With all the sentiment so negative, this is like a brilliant idea, I think. And I think you guys have touched on this also. So that's it. I appreciate your show. Learned a ton. Hope to learn tons more. Thank you. Bye.
ConocoPhillips, COP, ConocoPhillips engaged exploration and production of crude oil and natural gas in 27 countries. It's a $47 billion company. 2 days ago, we added to our positions in our income account. We doubled our positions because we bought it about 2 or 3 months ago, and it fell. And then we saw some bottoming action, and we bought it a couple days ago, right before it moved, and we were pretty happy about that because it's moved really strong the last 2 days. I like it. That tells you what we think about ConocoPhillips. I like ConocoPhillips. We own other oil majors that we own, and I like them too. And I think oil is a good place to go. Now, if you look at the numbers of ConocoPhillips and you call me up and you say, Steve, you always tell us to buy growing stocks, making money. That's all very true. Because ConocoPhillips is going to lose $1.90 this year. Okay, it's going to make 56 cents next year. It's a $47 billion company trading at 87% of book value. It's trading below the book value. If they liquidated this company, you would get more money than the stock is trading at right now. So how often do you see a stock trading below book value? That's one of the reasons why we like it. That's one. They don't have hardly any debt. There's some good, their sales are going down, but not necessarily the amount of product they sell, but the price has been falling. So it's the price of the oil. So that's why all the majors are having these kind of issues. And that's where there's opportunity. They have these issues. Everybody hates them because they have the issues, but you have to ask yourself, take a look at their book value. Are they selling at or near? You know how many stocks sell below book value? Hardly any. Exxon is selling 2 times book value. Chevron, 1 time book value. So, you know what the average times book value sold for the overall market? It's like 2 or 3 average. I mean, if you look at companies like, let's just take a look at Microsoft, which is a big blue chip company. It's selling 5 times book value. 5 times. Remember, book value is how much the stock is worth if you sold everything and just liquidated everything. And just so you know, Amazon is selling 20 times book value. You want to know what Tesla is? 27 times book value. See, so something selling below book value, the value of the assets that the company's holding. You can't go wrong in oil. It's like big oil. They're pretty inexpensive. And ConocoPhillips is one of the least expensive. That's why I like it. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk, made possible by our firm, KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. We're here for this full hour to help you answer all your money questions. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk about the odds of recession this hour. We're going to talk about negative rates and how they affect banks, and about OPEC. We're going to all do that this hour. So what do you want to talk about? Give me a call. Chart 888-992-4278. Let's go ahead and talk to Mark in the Bay Area. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Steve. It's a great show.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to talk about LNG, Lincoln, LNG Nora, and GLAC George.
Yes.
Engineer, natural gas.
Right.
I've hated this company for so many years because it's never had the profits there. And I don't know if you know, like a week ago or two, the Obama administration approved exports of natural gas finally.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And they're like a leader in that. And their earnings projections absolutely exploded.
Yep, they're going from losing $4.30 to going to make 93 cents next year. So yeah, it looks like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. I thought it was better than that, but Web Chenier, is that?
Well, it depends on what source you're using, you know, but it's probably going to be about $1 a share next year. And 5 years from now it could be $5 or $10 a share, who knows, you know. But with the approval and Europe desperately in need of a second source rather than Russia for natural gas, I think the prospects look pretty good. I do.
Well, they're exporting. I guess the first day they approved, they were loading up to go to export to Brazil.
Right.
So there's multiple countries, and we're burning off the natural gas here, right? I mean,
we're not burning it off anymore, but we got 500-year supply of natural gas here in the United States. 500 years. Come on, we should be selling it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you're gonna buy the stock with me then? I bought it last week.
I'd probably not right now. I'm gonna wait for the. I'm being very defensive right now. Very defensive with my clients' money and my money and my clients' money. And I do like this area though. I really do. If you want to take a shot at it now, I see no reason not to.
I bought it last week, and I just if you have a chance, you can look at the chart and.
I'm looking at it.
Volume, I really like it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and volume's up, prices up, pretty sharp. Yeah, I think you did well. Good job. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call.
All right, Paul. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. 888-99 chart, everybody. 888-992-4278. Okay, let's go to Lars in San Jose. How you doing, Lars?
Hi, Steve. I have a question for you. I looked at SFL. And they look really good. They have a very nice dividend, but couldn't find anything that looked scary about it. Maybe you could help me out and see if you could find something.
Okay. This is Ship Finance International Limited, provides tanker transportation services for crude and refined oil products, dry bulk containers, cargoes. That's what it does. It's going to make $2.40 this year after making $2.59 last year. And then it's going to make $2.26 next year. So profits are slowly going down. Sales of growth are holding steady in the high 20s or low 30s% per quarter. It's a cheap stock with a PE of 5. It has a pretty hefty debt. That might be the only little danger signal out there, pretty big debt. But it's got enough cash flow to carry the debt, so I'm not too worried about it. I doubt that they can maintain a 13% dividend. You know, it's possible, but I doubt it. But there's nothing wrong with this company. I don't see it. Other than the debt issue, there's nothing wrong that I can see with the numbers I'm looking at. And the only, the other issue you have is if they ship a lot of crude oil, there's demand for it is not very strong. So you really want a turnaround in that. And if you get a turnaround in the crude oil demand worldwide, in other words, if China and Europe start turning their economies around, start growing again in emerging markets, this thing is going to look really cheap in the rearview mirrors.
Because obviously the dividend is very nice, 12%.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And also the notional value just seems like if they could keep up the dividend, then there could even be a gain from the notional value going forward.
Yep. I could. I think it looks pretty solid on paper here. Your wish is to have a worldwide spark in growth, and it will happen. I just don't know when, Lars.
Right. If they can just keep the dividend until that starts to kick in. We all know European quantitative easing and many things are going. So I'm not saying it's going to happen next month, but if they can just hold that dividend, then that could also, at the same time, be the notional value increase, and it just seems solid to me. But thank you very much for your evaluation.
Pretty. Thank you for the call, Mark. I appreciate it, Lars. Let's go to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
I'm good. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to check your views on hotel chain called Marriott. symbol is MAR.
Okay, that's Marriott Hotels. You know, this Marriott International is called.
Right.
Operates right. franchises, licensed 4,400 properties with 759,000 rooms in 87 countries. So it's a really big, it's $18 billion size hotel chain, growing slowly in the single digits. Earnings are growing faster in the double digits, in the, you know, 18-20% range. So that's pretty good. Dividends only 1.5%. They don't have much debt. Management owns 16%. It's a little bit pricey. It's a $4.41 in earnings, and it's a $66 stock. So that means it's probably about 17-18% PE. That's not too bad, and that's the only danger you have. It might be a little pricey, and it's pretty cyclical. Everybody, you're listening to Invest Talk. You can call right now, 888-99-CHART.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. On tomorrow's Invest Talk, there are over 1,500 ETFs available on the market. So how do you make a smart choice? Three key questions to ask when considering an ETF. That's our main talking point on the next Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART is how to get through with your question or comment. And did you know you can talk directly with Steve and Justin if you call our listener line between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific Time, Monday through Friday, 888-99-CHART. Continue with this Thursday, March 3rd, Invest Talk. On this date in economic history, Congress passed a bill that doubled the salaries of legislators, the president, and the Supreme Court justices. The bill was eventually repealed at the demand of the public. It was the Salary Grab Act of 1873. Invest Talk is open to your question right now, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Saeed in Oakland. How are you doing, Saeed?
Hi, how are you? Thank you, Steve. Very nice.
Thank you.
I'm looking at the oil company. It's called Vertas, V oil symbol.
Boil, B-O-I-L.
Yes, and was wondering today is just went up 300% up, so... It's a very small company, but is this has to do with the oil pricing going on, or are they doing some things going on or something?
Boil is a B-O-I-L, ProShares Ultra Bloomberg Natural Gas. It's an ETF, exchange-traded fund, seeking results corresponding to 2x the daily performance of the Bloomberg Natural Gas Sub-Index. Why did it go up sharply? It went up sharply because... Today, natural gas drawdowns, you know, the supply of natural gas surprised everybody by being drawn down, meaning more natural gas was sold and used up than everybody expected. Still, we have a ton of natural gas, but that was a surprise. Whenever the market gets surprised, it moves up or down depending on the direction of the surprise. So this one moved up because, you know, no one expected anything to do but have natural gas supplies grow, not shrink. And so that surprised everybody. And you had a... Now, I don't know. What did it do today? It doesn't look like... Go ahead.
They went up like from like, was it 0.02 and then went up like to 8.08, you know, in just a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Or like three million shares were traded today.
Yeah, pretty high volume. Yeah. Well, that's what happened to it. Don't get too excited about it. You know, whenever you have a big up day like that, usually there's a pullback. So just be aware.
There's a pullback.
Usually.
Oh, okay.
Saeed, I appreciate the call.
Just because of supply. Thank you.
You're welcome. Appreciate it. Yeah, just because everybody got so excited about it in one day, you know, then people, anything moves up really sharply, it moved down really sharply. What happens is, people want to take profits of what they did. The short-term traders, they'll take profits the next day or sometimes even the same day. So, you know, or it could be 2 or 3 days, but usually that's what happens. It's just profit-taking. Doesn't mean you shouldn't invest it. It depends on what kind of investor you want to be. If you're a long-term investor, you look for, you know, long-term. This is a ETF that's 2x or 200% leveraged. Whenever I see that, they're trading vehicles. They're not buy and hold vehicles. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, okay, types of government funds. Okay, I like the money market funds, the government money market funds. Okay, the reason why I like it is because there's no risk of the funds that they're holding, the bonds that they're holding, of going under. You have the full faith of the U.S. government backing them. So you have very secure money market fund if it is a government, U.S. government money market fund. Now, there's other kinds that they can, that's the U.S. government. You can also have, you know, other types of government funds, which has a little bit more risk, but they're still government money market funds because they will hold securities that are backed by the government, such as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So they're still very secure. So those are the most secure money market funds you can get. Now, if you're talking about just a government, U.S. government bonds, you have to separate them in short term, midterm and long term, okay? Because you have interest rate risks, and the longer term that the bond is, the higher the risk when interest rates change or move. The higher the risk, the shorter the maturity, the lower the risk. And there's a number of them out there. There's so many of them for you to pick from. But just to give you an idea, how long is a short term? How long is a long term? Well, a short term bond fund, a government bond fund, is 2 to 3 years of maturity date of the bonds they hold. A midterm is like 3 to 10 years. And a long term bond fund is like 10 to 30 years. Remember, the longer term the maturity of the bonds, the more interest rate risk there is. If interest rates go up, the longer-term bonds will go down a lot faster than the shorter-term bond funds. Okay, so just be aware of how they work and what's in them. Okay, 888-99-CHART. One of the services we provide to a limited number of our listeners is a free checkup. I will be in San Ramon next week, March 9th. I got several slots open during the day. The latest dates are always posted on investtalk.com. So if you want to save your time, just go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting.
When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have instant access to a whole library of InvestTalk webinars, like How the Pros Do It. Steve and Justin give you an inside look at the strategies and tools the professionals use to grow and protect money. Sign up now to be an InvestTalk insider. It's free on investtalk.com.
Yeah, my name is John. I'm from North California, and it's an AM 1220. And my question was about the railroads. I'm very ignorant about investing money, but a little birdie told me that one of the big railroad companies was going to convert to natural gas, and I wanted to know your viewpoints on it. So maybe you could throw that out there next show. I appreciate it. Thank you.
A railroad wanting to convert to natural gas because it's cheaper. It's cheaper than oil, diesel engines, you know, burning diesel fuel. So I can see why they want to do that. But really, when you look at the railroads, you know, you got to look at a number of factors. Of course, you always look at the basic numbers. Are they making money? Are they growing? And so on and so forth. But in a railroad situation, they compete with trucks, right, to move goods. They compete with trucks. So the higher cost there is for the trucks, the better off is for the railroads because they have low-cost transportation. They're very low-cost transportation companies. Whereas trucks, if gasoline prices, oil prices go up, it gets more and more expensive to move goods. So railroads become more attractive the higher the oil prices are. Okay, so, you know, besides, I kind of think that this might be the place to start looking at them, to buy. I kind of think that might be it. But they are very cyclical, too. Cyclical meaning they're attached to the economic cycle. So long as the economic cycle is growing, you know, they're not a bad place to be. But, you know, if a recession comes, just expect the railroads to get hit. I like to buy them. If I was going to buy them, I like to buy them in a recession. Doesn't mean I won't buy them at this point. What I'm thinking is you want to look for deep value stocks, big stocks that have very low PE ratios, very solid fundamentals, and they got beat up a lot. Okay, and I see a lot of that in the oil industry, right? And so do you. So, you know, that's where I think you need to be. And if there's a railroad out there that fits that mold, I wouldn't be necessarily opposed to it. Let's go to Tim in Fremont. How you doing, Tim?
Hi, I'd like to ask your view about a company called National Star Mortgage, NSM, please.
Is that National Star Mortgage Holdings?
Yes.
Okay. It provides non-bank residential mortgage servicing with a wide array of servicing capabilities across the U.S. So they service mortgages. They collect the money. They pay a bond to the bank. They service the mortgages. This company is going to make $1.80 this year. That's a 53% increase from last year. But don't get excited because it fell sharply from the year before. But that's good. It's bouncing back up. And next year it's going to be another 14% increase to $2.05. And it's $11.84 stock. So it's cheap. It's very, very inexpensive. Okay? So that's less than a half, almost a third of the S&P 500. Now, I'll warn you, their earnings are erratic. Sales have been erratic, and that's one of the reasons why it's so cheap. It's pretty erratic. Okay, and so they do have a lot of debt, and I'm not sure why they would have a lot of debt if they're servicing the loans. They're not making the loans, they're just servicing them. So on a chart, looking at the stock on a chart, it looks like they're bounced up with the market. It is cheap. Cash flow is strong. I would be hesitant because I want to know why the earnings are so erratic. One quarter they're up big. One next quarter they're down big on their sales. So I don't understand why it's so erratic, and I'd find out what that is. But it looks like a pretty inexpensive stock, Tim. And it makes money.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate the call. That's NSM, Nancy Sam Mary, National Star Mortgage Holdings. 888-99-CHART, odds of a recession in 2016. These are the big investment bankers, okay? They still say it's very unlikely. UBS has a 23% chance. Goldman Sachs has a 20% chance of a recession this year. Those are the highest of the commercial bank, investment banks, you know, as far as chances of a recession this year. Most expect slow growth. Even UBS and Goldman Sachs expect slow growth this year in the economy. So no one is saying we're going to go into recession. I didn't see one that said we're going to be in a recession in 2016. Now be very careful. Experts are often wrong. That just because they said that doesn't mean it's going to be true. Okay? Negative rates will crush the bankers. That's Bill Gross wrote an article about that. Said the negative interest rates, and we have negative rates in Japan. We have, I think, five countries in all have negative rates. And the EU is thinking about pushing rates down lower, probably going to negative rates. First of all, what sane person would ever pay a government to borrow the government's money, to borrow your money? They're going to borrow your money and you're going to pay them for it. Instead of them paying you interest, you're paying them. What right-minded individual would do that? So this is one of the things that he's said, that this throwing off, this changes the business model completely. No one knows the far-reaching effects of these kind of negative rates. What else? Because it certainly is not helping the banks, right? I mean, what are the banks are in business to loan money to make money. And so now you're a bank, and you're a big bank, and you're required by the federal government and other governments around the world to own a certain amount of very secure debt. And, of course, government debt is very secure. So this kind of forces you to buy their debt. And pension plans and other things are forced to buy their debt. And then now, since they're not paying them any interest, they have to pay for the right to own the debt. It makes no sense. And if a bank, remember, the bank's in the business to make money, and this they're going to guarantee lose money. And just so you know, the banking ETF, so that encompasses all the banks, is down 7.4% year to date. It's one of the worst performers of the market so far. And this is why Bill Gross thinks it's going to be a problem, because it changes the business model and no one knows what the effects are going to be, long-term effects, other than it's not healthy. No one knows. Kind of interesting. Our first priority is answering your questions. So let's pick up a call that came in before today's program on our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART. Eva called in from Los Angeles.
I have a question about my 401k. I withdrew $100,000, and I'm thinking about putting it in an annuity or splitting it to annuities. And I'd like to know if that's a good idea. I have 60 days to do so. Thank you.
Well, I would say, you know, if with just the information you gave me, no, it's not a good idea. It's a bad idea because you obviously don't need the money, because if you're going to just take the money out of the 401k and invest it in something else, what's going to happen is you're going to have to pay income tax on that $100,000. So now you already got immediately a hit, and probably, you know, good, what, 30% hit? Why would you do that? Withdraw from a 401k or IRA, and I'm assuming you're old enough so you don't have to pay a penalty. Okay, you're over 59 and a half. But why would you pay taxes just to go buy an annuity? And what does an annuity do? It's a tax-deferred instrument. It defers taxes. Well, you're already in a tax-deferred instrument in a 401k or IRA. That makes no sense. Don't do it. Put the money back. It just makes no sense. Now, that's absent any other facts that you might have to change my mind. But just to take out a 401k, take the money and go put an annuity, that alone is a mistake. You're going to be paying huge income tax on that money. And then you're just putting it right back into a tax-deferred instrument. Well, you just pay taxes. Why pay taxes? Avoid the tax altogether and put it back. Now, if you needed the money to live, then I can see the point of withdrawing it. But just to put it in another type of investment, no. Don't think that's a good idea. Our Invest Talk Anytime number is 888-99-CHART. I'm here to answer your questions. Any money questions you might have, at least I'll try, 888-99-CHART.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk. When investors consider portfolio management for their retirement accounts, they'd like to think that the person managing their money has a stake in their success. That's why the principals at KPP Financial practice parallel investing.
And that means our money is riding right along with our clients. Everything that we buy for our clients, we buy in our own personal accounts at the same price, same percentage, for ourselves.
That's parallel investing.
So if we make our clients money, we make money.
If you'd like to know more about parallel investing and any of the KPP Financial programs, just visit investtalk.com or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
We pride ourselves on this. It's very important for our clients to know this and also our listeners to know this.
The portfolio managers at KPP Financial are invested in your success.
888-992-4278. Tomorrow we're going to get the jobs report, the official jobs report for February. And I'm curious as we're going to be. 150,000, 200,000 jobs. Somewhere in there, that's probably the range that everybody's looking for. So based on the unemployment claims, a weekly unemployment claims report, jobs market is still pretty strong. It's not, you know, it's not weakening. Haven't seen any evidence of that. So that's going to be out tomorrow morning. And it'll probably be a market mover, you know, if, you know, one way or another. We'll see. OPEC. We know OPEC, you know, used to have lots of power. What the OPEC said, oil prices would go up or down based on what they do. It is now pretty much has no teeth at all. It's toothless. So because of that, probably OPEC will never cut production. And Saudi Arabia is, of course, the main producer there. They have said, and they were very clear, that they were going to continue pumping oil and they're going to make it's let the price fall where it may because they wanted to push out the high-cost producers. And that was code for saying, you know, the shale producers out in our country who are high-cost producers. They wanted them out. And to be honest, why would they cut production? There would be no reason why. They are already the low-cost producers, and why would they cut production to subsidize high-cost producers? And your answer would be because they want high oil prices so they can make more money. But at the same time, if they did that, they lose market share. When the market turned around and it went up, and prices went up, they would lose clients, customers, to the higher-cost producers. So they saw no reason to do that. And the result of this is a freer oil market. There's competition. You know, we got supplies coming on from Iran and Iraq. And then you got the non-OPEC countries like Russia, who needs the money desperately, and other countries in South America need the money desperately. So it has now become much more cutthroat. It's become much more competitive, and it's become a free market, free for all. And look at the benefits to you and me as the consumer: low oil prices. See, everybody whines about the free market system doesn't work. No, the free market system works great. Problem is you got OPEC was kind of like a cartel, a monopolistic cartel, controlling oil prices. Well, when you have a free market, people produce oil as much as they can, as long as they can make money. They can't make money, production goes down. Supply and demand. It's that simple. So there's no reason for them to cut production, and we're gonna benefit from this. Me and you, the average citizen. Let's give a last word today to one of our callers, our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve or Justin. I am interested in Credit Acceptance Corporation, CACC. I owned it last year. And I sold it about November of last year. And I'm looking at the price right now and the price to earnings, and I'm wondering if it looks like a good time to buy it. Thanks.
Okay, Credit Acceptance Corporation provides funding, receivable management, collection and sale training, and other financial services to auto dealers. Okay, it doesn't loan money. It provides funding. Well, I guess it does. Provides funding. Receivable management, collection, sales training, and other financial services to auto dealers. So they have a risk there. They borrow money. They're like they're a financial company. They have a debt of 189%. Therefore, that's not to be too frightened, because if they borrow money, then they lend it out. And auto business is doing very, very well. So they're doing very, very well right now, even though the stock price has been pretty erratic in the last year. It's going to make $18.37 next year. It's a $207 stock. That means the P.E. ratio is going to be pretty darn low, but not as low as it should be. You have to worry about the auto industry in this. So where do you think the auto industry is going? If you think it's going up, then it's a stock to buy. Okay? Our time is up. A reminder that if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, you can send me a note by going to investtalk.com and clicking on Contact Steve. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, I want to thank you for listening today, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.